I think we should all be sure that we understand that the acceptance of I is the acceptance of an infinite, all-knowing power which has no second on the earth. That once you have accepted I as the only, the presence of God where you stand as your identity, there's a lot of other things you're throwing in the rubbish heap that you had accepted before. And one of them is your personal will, your personal sense of what you need or what is right. You're transferring everything over to the living I, and therefore every other power on the earth that now exerts itself in your direction is no longer met by you as a person, but it's met by I in the midst of you, which is greater. And that I is also in the midst of that which is coming at you as a power. And so you learn the secret of I am the way of one power. I am the way of grace. And the way grace functions is beautifully explained in this esoteric code of John's in the 14th chapter. In the 26th verse, here's the way grace functions according to John, according to Jesus, and according to John's reporting of the words through Christ. Here's the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So you go into I, stand in I, and that's my name. And when you stand in I, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. In other words, you and I receive the Holy Ghost from the Father. That's the only way you can receive the Holy Ghost, when you're in I. And then the Father sends the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, to my name, which is I, which is your identity accepted. The infinite Father, the infinite Spirit, sends to its own individualized Spirit, the Christ, the fullness of infinity, the Holy Ghost, as the enforcer of the divine will. That's how the Word is going to be made flesh. And he shall teach you all things. The Holy Ghost, you see, will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Whatever I say unto you, the Holy Ghost will bring forth into visible experience. This is the way of grace, but it cannot function in your experience unless you have renounced your dependence on the methods of the world around you, the leaven of the Pharisees, the human dependence on material solutions to material problems. You can carry this to an absurdity. You can say, I don't need the baby's diaper pin. I'll wait for Spirit to do something. But you can also know the eye of the baby and the eye of you. And if the diaper pin happens to be lost, you'll find it. In the most unusual ways, Spirit will show itself to you as the Holy Ghost. If you are patient and alert and obedient to the identification of all that you see, Spirit will send forth the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, from the Father to the individualized Christ of your being and the being of the one you're looking at. And the harmony of that Christ will appear as the only power made visible to cover whatever need was apparent at the moment. And that is why peace I leave with you. My peace. This is the peace of the Comforter. The peace of the Father sending the Holy Ghost to do the Father's will in you. My peace. I give unto you not as the world giveth. You might have found human solutions, but this peace is not going to require that you find a second and a third and a fourth solution. This is the solution for all time. This is the way. This is living in the Father and letting the Father live in you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now we can take these two phrases, these two verses, 26 and 27, and make them our own to such an extent that we accept I in the midst of our neighbor, our friend, our enemy, ourself, always beginning with I in the midst of me. And then let not your heart be troubled, because I in the midst of you go unto the Father, and that means the Father goes unto I right here, and the Holy Ghost is doing its work in your recognition of that I. Whenever there's an error in your life, the error is just as impersonal as Christ is in you. Christ in you is not a person. Christ in your child is not a person. But Christ is the life and identity of that which appears as you and as your child. And the same is true of error. Error is just as impersonal. There is no error in your child. There is no error in your baby. There is no error in your grandfather. It is all impersonal. And when you recognize it as not existing in that individual, half your work is done. The reason it appears there is because of the identification of a mind, which is not the mind of God. The mind that is not of God sees error. That's the human mind. It sees error that isn't there because God didn't make error. And when you recognize that the error that is visible to you and coming at you is only there because you are looking out of a human mind and the individual with the error is looking out of a human mind, when you get to the knowledge that only divine mind is present, you can release what the human mind is seeing as a lie, knowing the divine mind is seeing everything correctly. And only divine mind is present. Rest there. And then you're in the divine mind of that I. And the divine mind of that I can never show you error, because there's no error in it. We're coming out of the false world mind now. This is our age for that. Into the spiritual mind, the only. Now, if you wanted to speak to someone in Chicago before this dial phone came in, you'd have to get the central. And the same is true here now. If you want the fruits of the Spirit to show forth in your family, in your personal life, in your business, in your office, in your home, in your nation, on this planet, we must individually dial central. We must all go to I in the midst of us. The universal, impersonal Christ in the midst of us is central. Only it goes to the Father. Only it can attune us to the infinite. And everyone who does so discovers that precisely as outlined here, in the 26th and 27th verse of John 14, Then the Father sends the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, to the individualized I, which is accepting I, and brings my peace, a peace that overshadows all of the problems of the world. And in this uplifted consciousness, you are literally walking in the kingdom of God, because I am the key to the kingdom. Now it's a beautiful day. Chapter 4 of Mystic Eli is showing us that I am the way is the way. And it is bringing us up to date to something that all of the great revelators have revealed to ears that never could hear. It is taking Jesus right into July 17th or 18th of the year 1971. And the truth is no less now than it was then, and will be no greater tomorrow than it was then. The truth is indestructible. Identity is indestructible. And to know identity aright is your life eternal. To know God aright, identity aright, is life eternal. Now, I've made some check marks here of things in the chapter that we must make bone of our bone in order to walk in the way of I. Not just for myself, but for every self that walks this earth. I gain nothing if I think I is my name, but your name is Mary. I gain nothing if I think I is the name of my friends, but not of my enemies. There is no such I. There is only an infinite I, a universal I, an I that is unseparated. And unless that is the I am acknowledging in all, I do not have I. I'm not in my Father's name. Most of the things that you're going to hear are going to be quotes right out of the fourth chapter. See if they have already penetrated your consciousness. It is in this word I that you find the entire secret of the spiritual message given to the world by Jesus Christ. A message destined to set men free and break from them all shackles and limitations. Now there's the importance of it as expressed through Job. That men may live as children of God, completely free, under the domination of no man, no circumstance, no conditions, under the grace of God alone. Now that's what I can do. I, in the midst of you, takes you out of domination to all material law. But only because I does the work, not you. Of your own self you do nothing. I, the Father within you, does all the work. You are the witness in your human outer consciousness. You're renouncing the outer, living within the inner, and watching the inner become the outer through the Holy Ghost. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. But who is this Father within? And Joel says, does it not mean that there is a presence within you and a power as well as a presence? Since he performs that which is given you to do. And this he within you does those things appointed for you to do. Hands off. You cannot be doing the things and saying, I am I. I must do them. The power of I must do them. I must move your hands. I must move your feet. I must move your brain. Unless you do that, you're not connected to central. You're in self-will, self-government, separated from the infinite. Do you see how easy it is to break even your own belief that you're living in I, abiding, if you're not letting I do the works? My Father worketh, and I work hitherto. The outer you works hitherto, while I in the midst of you does the works. And then how does I do them? That's John 14:26. The Father sends the Holy Ghost. And that's why you suddenly feel the miracle of harmony. That's why you feel the like a ballet dancer all of a sudden. You're just as light as a feather. Or you could twist and turn with the greatest of ease. Suddenly all of the grace of the world is yours. Why? Because the Holy Ghost takes over the whole being that you are. You're different. Every bone in your body is moving in a new rhythm. For I am come. The miracle of I awaits us at every moment. Until you can come to an inner assurance that there is this within you, this I, because of whom you need not fear, you can go no further and your tomorrows will be no different from your yesterdays. Do not try to go beyond this moment of revelation. Regardless of how many months or years it may take for you to reach the absolute inner conviction, where I am, God is. I need not fear. I need never be afraid. The presence is within me. This I is within me. Now, nothing can be more explicit. If you do not stop and come to the realization of I, anything you do beyond that will be of no consequence. You can talk and talk and talk, but no one in Chicago will hear you if you're not connected. The infinite cannot enter your consciousness with the grace of the Holy Ghost if you're not in I. I'm sure that's clear. And then you may say, well, how many times a day should I be in I? 3 minutes in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and 3 at night. And the moment you phrase the question, you have the answer. Abide in me. I am your identity. Are you going to be in your identity 9 minutes out of the day? This is a new era. It's not a new toy we're learning to work. It's a new era. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. In other words, you're not looking at Jesus, you're looking at God. Thou seest you, thou seest the Father. They're not looking at you, they're looking at God. Not 9 minutes a day. 24 hours a day. That's what stands where you appear. Thou seest the Father. And you can't go any further in this work until you will accept that where you stand, where I stand, God is. And if you want to see that again, look on page 40 of the Mystical Eye. And read it until it means just what it says to you. Until you do not misidentify yourself in your own consciousness ever again, by thought or word or deed. Because the only way to living the life eternal is to dwell in the knowledge that I, the Spirit of God, is your name. Now, That is how you're connected with the infinite. And then with the assurance of this inner presence and its promise to give you the life more abundant, you have nothing more to do with the outer plane of life. That seems rather harsh. And then it adds, other than to accept God's grace as it flows into and through your experience and quite naturally compels you to share the 12 baskets full. Oh, when that grace flows, it means share. If truth flows, share truth. If harmony flows, share harmony. Whatever flows can only continue to flow if you share it. If understanding flows, share it. Or we become stagnant. The only struggle, and it is not really a struggle, should be for the awareness of I, the Spirit of God within you. The full baskets will appear at their own accord. There's no use in struggling for health, even through prayer or treatment. Once you have realized that the function of the Spirit of God is to give you health abundantly. And if he took all of the attributes of God, he could have said exactly that. It is the function of the Spirit of God in you, named I, to give you those attributes abundantly. God isn't giving harmony to a mortal being. God isn't giving abundance to a mortal being. Let's not make that error. Your name is I. I is the invisible immortal self. And the attributes of the immortal self are ever immortal. That's why they belong to you. That's why they cannot be taken away. They are merely being interpreted by human eyes as visible things. But they are coming to you from the source and never leaving the source. Only appearing through human eyes as the harmonies, the beauties, the truth, the justice. They are the invisible activity of the Holy Ghost, not for a mortal, but they are your immortality expressing itself on the inner plane, appearing to mortal eyes as mortal activities. There's no power over them. They are self-empowered. In the eye, you will begin to see the breakup in these next few years of the legal profession as it now stands, and of the medical profession as it now stands. You will see our bondage to matter, to mind, broken up in those professions. This is not my prediction. This is Joel's prediction, and I accept it, having had some measure of illumination on it. We are seeing breakups of material beliefs. Because those who have walked before us have held to I in the face of a million knees around them saying it isn't true. Because of this fidelity to I, you will walk through the fire. All of the work you're putting into the realization of I is under divine sequence, preparing you to walk through any eventuality that appears on this earth. Without being touched for I am never touched by mortal hands. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. Is that a man speaking? Is that a human being speaking? When you accept I, are you a human being? Are you a woman? Are you a man? If you are I, if you are Christ, are you living in a physical form if you are I, or are you absent from that form? In your identity as I, you are incorporeal being. That is why the power flows. There are no physical barriers. There are no mental barriers. There are no mental misidentities, misidentifications. There is no mental malpractice. I am functioned by the Christ mind. I walk in the Christ body. Thou seest me, thou seest the Christ body. And wherever you are looking at not what you think you are looking at the Christ body. You are looking at I. And fear not, it is I. Be not troubled or dismayed, it is I. Everywhere you look, I am. And when you are in your incorporeal self, then are you lifted into the many mansions which are unknown to the human mind. Only in this uplifted consciousness of the incorporeal self do we walk in the infinite, in freedom, in peace, in truth, in our eternal self. And we are dropping all of the memories of the mortal being that we never were. We are dropping the concept of having been entombed in human flesh. We are dropping the karma of centuries. We are dropping the leaven of the Pharisees. We are accepting the one infinite divine I, with no limitations or separations. The universal brotherhood is I hid in Christ, thou hid in Christ, we hid in Christ, one in Christ. Which is greater than every power that walks the earth. John went through all this. Peter went through all this. Paul went through all this. They followed the Master. Joel went through all this. And with their help, we are all going through this. For every time you can accept I, you are touching the consciousness of those who have gone before you, who are one with you, for the eye of Joel is the eye of you. The eye of all the illumined is the eye of you, and it touches your consciousness when you touch I. And then all who touch you, the eye of them is the eye of you, and they are lifted up to the eye level of you. I, if I be lifted up, will lift others unto me. And this is true of Jesus as it is of you. Whenever you touch I, you are being lifted and you are lifting others. You are leavening the entire world. The miracle of the Christian life is that I, God, in the midst of you, am omnipotence. If you rest in me, in my word, in that word I, in the midst of you, rest in that presence of God in the assurance of its presence and of its mission, never taking anxious thought for the things of this world, you have a mission. That is why you are here, even in this appearance world. Your mission is known to I. And your mission is fulfilled through I. For I glorify the Father. Your mission is to glorify the Father. Not the human form. Not the human sense of things. Your mission is to glorify the Father, and only I in the midst of you can do it. Remember consciously when you awaken in the morning that where you are is this temple of God. During the day in your home office, up the street in a bus, or in trouble, turn within and realize, I am the temple of God. God dwells in me, in this temple here where I am. And finally, Joel makes this point. You cannot afford to accept these points and go on as if you had a beautiful lesson. You must take them into your consciousness for a day, week, month, or year. And if necessary, you must wait until you yourself have attained an understanding of the nature of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is, I is the way. That's your narrow path, which widens to infinity. I is the way. The I of you, not the I of someone who lived 2,000 years ago. This I has come. This I is present, that you might have life more abundantly. And that abundantly includes the fullness of God. Do you see this then as beyond your reasoning capacity? You can't reason it. You can't make it happen because you reason it. It's beyond all of our human capacities. If we put all our human capacities together and made a skyscraper of them, it would be like a little 100-watt bulb compared to the infinity of I. All of the power and all of the might that men can muster, and all of our faith in these material powers, is but a shadow. A straw in the wind. If you have been looking for the miracle of God, look no further. Stop. Accept. Rest in I, for I in the midst of you am God. And let I perform the mission of I in this world, which is to glorify the infinite Father. And you will bear fruit richly, for I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. The Master's message is resoundingly clear. Whoever hears it, whoever understands it, whoever takes it to heart, whoever has been prepared to receive it is ready to walk with God here and now. without any opposition on this entire earth. There is no opposition to I. So henceforth we know no man after the flesh, for God is no respecter of the flesh, but rather we walk united in Christ, in I. There goes I, and over there goes I, and here is I. Omnipresent I. And as you abide in the knowledge of omnipresent I, you are in the way. That omnipresent I is your name. You are the omnipresent I. And John isn't there. I am. And Mary isn't there. I am. And Jesus isn't there. I am. There is no Paul or Peter or Mary or John. There's I everywhere. And that is the eye of your being all over this earth now. That is why the earth is the Lord's, because it is I. And the fullness of it is I. And every person in the world who is sick or not sick is I invisible. Build that into your permanent consciousness and you will see the miracle worker everywhere you go. And then we can begin to live the eternal life of I consciously. 24 hours a day. Living in God 24 hours a day. For that's where I always live. Let's see what we have next week. I am the way. Oh, just beautiful. The two ways of I. Which means we're going to have a reinforcing lesson so that we know we're walking in the right way of I instead of the personal concept of it. I hope we have an opportunity to do the five chapters of 1 John. And if you have an opportunity to read it, knowing that I is the secret of the Bible, you can see that I, 1 John, has captured that I in its most breathtaking simplicity. Try to make it yours. Two ways of I next week. And thanks for a lovely class today.
Thank you.